and bring greetings to you this morning in Jesus' name. I want to open the Bible to Exodus chapter 12. Just go through the Bible. In several places, it talks about or gives the idea of what I want to talk about this morning. In some places, it's called a token. Some places, it's called a mark. Some places it's called a seal. But just to put it in question this morning, something to think about, is whose brand do you wear? And we could take that several different directions, and we may, Lord willing, but I just want you to think about that for just a little bit. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Excuse me. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Then again, I want to go to verse 21. The Lord called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is on the basin, in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your house to smite you. Okay. Does everyone understand what's happening here? God had been plaguing Pharaoh because Pharaoh held God's people in captivity. They were slaves and he wouldn't let them go. And God did all kinds of things to Egypt to destroy the land or to punish them so that Pharaoh would let God's people go. But he refused to do it. He hardened his heart, the Bible said, and just wouldn't let them go. Finally, this final plague that God brought upon Pharaoh, he told him that the death angel, or the destroyer, it's called a couple of different names, was going to pass through the land tonight. And he's going to kill the firstborn in everyone's house. The Bible says there wasn't a house that wouldn't be affected by this in Egypt. And God gave a remedy. Whoever had the lamb's blood marked on the front porch of his house, we'll just bring it out how it is, having a mark over the door and down the two side posts. Whenever the Lord went through town and he saw those marks on the front door of the house, he just went right on past that door. But anyone without those marks, he was going to enter into that house, and anyone who was the firstborn would be killed, would die that night. If you were living in that time, and the Lord told you that message, what do you think you would do? Well, I would hope that we would hear the Lord and sacrifice a lamb, eat it for supper, and then take the blood from that lamb and put it on our doorpost. Marking ourselves as being on the Lord's side. What would happen, do you think, if the Lord didn't pass through that night and the next morning the Egyptians came through and only saw this blood on people's door, but no one left, no one died? The Egyptians would know whose side who was on. They would know those who were loyal and those who weren't to the Lord. And I imagine that there would have been some trouble for those who had the Lord's mark on them. Because they were already blaming these people for being the ones who caused all these plagues to come upon them. The Lord gave the blood as a token so he could tell who was his and whose wasn't. Whose brand do you have on you? Whose brand do you wear? Whose mark do you have? We only have two choices. We either have the Lord's mark on us, or we have the world's mark on us. Exodus chapter 9. No, Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Start in verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the hither gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim among whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And go to the others, and to the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. Here again, in Ezekiel, God called these men, these destroyers, these men with weapons, to destroy the city. The people in the city. But before he did that, he sent a man through the city with an inkhorn, with a marker. And he said, find those men who are crying and sighing for the wickedness that's going on in the city, for the abominations that are committed. Look out and find my people. And mark them. And after you finish marking them, the destroyers are going to go through. And whoever doesn't have a mark on their head, showing that they're on the Lord's side and wearing the Lord's brand, slay them. Young and old, men and women, every one of them. How did they know who to kill? It's real simple, wasn't it? Anybody who didn't have a mark on their head. Who did the Lord know who to kill when he went through Egypt? Anybody who didn't have blood over the door and on the side post. Anybody who didn't live in a house that was marked. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Then it goes on to explain. About those that are sealed at this time. But God held his judgment back until those who would be sealed were sealed. I don't understand everything here, but that's not the point I'm trying to bring out. The point I'm trying to bring out is from the beginning of the Bible until the end, God marks his people. The Lord's people and the world's people are all marked. And God's people are marked. Marked or sealed. Or branded, as it were. You know, we have cattle. And we brand them. Or we put ear tags in their ears. Or we mark them some way or another to know who the cattle belong to. They do that with sheep. They do that with pigs. They have different markings, different tags, different things to describe whose mark they have on them. And that tells who owns them. And it goes that way in everything. Chapter 9. Verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. These beasts, these scorpions that are described here, were sent as a plague to torment men for 5 months. To sting men like scorpions. I've never been stung by a scorpion, but I've heard people that have, and it's a painful thing. So painful that, according to this, these men would wish to die to get away from them. That they can't even die, because death was taken away from them. Only those people who had God's mark on them survived, or wasn't tormented. We look later of those who have the mark of the beast. We read about this mark of the beast, and I'm not going to try to describe what it is. Many people are waiting for the devil just to come around and say, take my stamp or I'm going to kill you. And I think many people are wearing the mark of the beast, thinking they're Christians, and don't know it already. They've already got the devil's mark on them. His stamp on them. But those who have this mark for a while, they're going to save their lives in this earth, because they have the devil's mark. Things are going to go a little better for them for a little while in the earth, because they have the devil's mark. In fact, it says that there's coming a time those who aren't marked with the devil can neither buy nor sell nor eat or buy nor sell or do anything without this mark. And those who don't have that mark are going to be tormented. They might even lose their head for not taking this mark. The world's mark upon them. But when the Lord comes and judgment comes, it's going to be reversed. Those who are marked with the Lord's mark are going to be spared the judgment. And those who are marked with the devil's mark are going to be facing the judgment. It just depends on who's reigning at the time. And it depends on whose mark or whose brand we're wearing whenever the Lord returns. Well, now, does this mean we've got to make up a little stamp and put it on our head and say, I'm the Lord's? Or what does this all mean? The Lord knows those that are His. The Lord says, my sheep know my voice. He says that it's not him that saith, I know him, but he that does the will of the Father. All of these areas that it's talking about shows a clear distinction between God's people and the world's people. Some places it was a mark of ink, some places it was blood. Here, there's a mark that's in the forehead or in the hand it talks about of being part of the Lord's. But they were marked. People knew who they were. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11... Verse 10, here it's talking about the covering, the woman's covering. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And people can make all kinds of excuses of why not to wear the covering. Doesn't fit with society. Doesn't go along with what the world accepts. But isn't it a mark that establishes us as being on God's side? Doesn't it distinguish us? I always had wondered what it meant here, this chapter 11 and verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Brother Joe gave us, someone had preached about this and had it on tape, and he brought this point out, because of the angels. That the angels couldn't see what was in man's heart, but they could see whether someone would obey or not. God looks on the heart. There's people that could be obeying here and still have a bad heart. But when the death angel passed through in Egypt, there might have been someone in there with a bad heart. In fact, later it was proven that there were men of unbelief that got out of Egypt, that were delivered from Egypt, and wound up dying in the desert because of their unbelief. But because of their obedience, they were spared the judgment of the death angel. That doesn't mean complete deliverance, but it spared that judgment. And it should have been a lesson to them. To trust in the Lord. we find that even that still wasn't. We have God's mark, or we have the devil's mark on us. Sometimes that mark makes us very distinct and sets us out. Whether people understand it or not, the angels do. The devils do. They can see whose mark we wear. That's one thing I really appreciate about going to some of the places we go to preach. It's a blessing to be able to have a sign, or at least a big Bible. When you get on an airplane or go somewhere and you take your Bible out, you mark yourself. I like for people to know whose side I'm on wherever I go. I like for people to know that I'm on the Lord's side and not on the world's. And I like to be able to make that distinction known. The Lord gives us those distinctions. Whose brand do we wear? There's a tire shop down at the tire shop, and they offered me a hat the other day. They'd ordered a bunch of hats, and they offered me one, and it had their name embroidered all across the front of it. Had their name on it, and I just simply told them. I looked at the hat and I said, "Well, do you think I can take all this lettering off? I don't really like making myself an advertisement for people. I'm not for sale." So I said, "Do you think I can take this name off?" And they laughed at me and said, "We paid money to get those names put on there to advertise for us. No, you can't have that hat if you're going to take the name off. Give me my hat back." So I gave it back to them. Went in there a few days later, and they said, "Well, we opened up another box, and you'll never believe it. There was a hat in there that didn't have anything on it, and they gave it to me." I don't like to wear the world's brands. That's what I appreciate about being called plain people. That distinguishes us. So we don't need to wear the world's brands. Now, I'm not saying that just wearing a brand is the mark of the devil or the mark of the beast or anything like that. But I'm not for sale. Many times if I get a brand name of something, I like to take the thing off. I want the Lord's brand. And I want it to be clear. The Lord's brand. In Acts chapter 19, I've always been blessed by this. Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. What's that mean? There was a man that had an evil spirit. And there were seven men, Jews, that were going around, and they were being exorcist. They were going around delivering people from evil spirits. And they went to this man, and they adjured this man who was possessed by the devil, by a devil, and said, "In the name of Jesus, this Jesus that Paul preaches, leave this man alone." Verse 15, "And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' And the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Seven men came upon one man, tried to cast the devil out of him, and those seven men got through out of that house naked and wounded. But what I want to bring to your attention is that the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" I know Jesus. This is the enemy speaking. I know who Jesus is. And I know who Paul is. But who are you? Does the enemy know who you are? Does the enemy see whose mark you wear? He didn't even know his own. The devil don't care about his own. He didn't even know his own. Who are you? But he knew Paul. And he knew Jesus. He knew who his enemies were. They were marked. The devil knows those who are marked with God's seal. Does the devil know who you are? Or are you just one of the multitudes that he can look at and say, who are you? Then he just whips them good and sends them away like a whipped pup, skedaddling out of there. They feared Jesus, and they feared Paul. They fear those with the Lord's mark on them. They try to kill them. They try to punish them. They're the enemy. But they know who they are. Often we're reproved or scolded or laughed at or mocked at standing for something or standing against what's wrong. Maybe no one will ever change. Maybe no one will ever notice. Maybe no one here will ever care. But I want to be marked as one who stood against wrong, whether anyone else in this world cares or not. There's several. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This world has fallen for anything. And I want to stand against what I know is wrong. The boys in Peru went the other night and they took a couple of sisters with them to preach, and they went to a rock concert that someone has tagged Christianity with. Tried to put Christianity's mark on a rock concert. Tried to call it a Christian music. It was just pure wickedness. But they tried to mix Jesus with it. And there was 20 people come out and started defending that. And the boys just got pretty upset about it. How that they could defend that. Well, these two ladies, well, that wasn't very loving. They didn't think it was very loving the way they responded. 100 years ago, the world would have thought that was wickedness. And now a Christian can't even stand up against it without being reproved. Why? Because somebody didn't stand a long time ago. Because somebody wasn't willing to be marked as standing against wrong. Thomas Jefferson said something like this one time, and the people use it to get people to vote. The only thing that keeps that evil takes to triumph, I'm paraphrasing here, the only thing that keeps evil from triumphing is for good men to do nothing. If you want evil to triumph, the only thing that has to happen is good men do nothing. for evil to triumph, for the world to get wickeder and wickeder, further and further from God. Men who supposedly call themselves Christians, allow that to happen, all they have to do is just sit back and do nothing. It may get worse anyway, probably will. But I want to know, I want the Lord, and I want the angels, and I want the devil to know whose side I'm on. Whether the world recognizes it or not. Whose brand are we wearing? In fact, when we see evil, it should be the call to arms. Paul in Acts chapter 17 saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and it stirred him in his spirit. Saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and it stirred him to action. He might even have got mad. It's kind of what I think happened. Whose side we want to be on. Well, I'll guarantee you, whenever revelation starts happening and the angels start pouring out their judgment, this world's pleasure or displeasure isn't going to matter to us too much. But the angels are going to know who they're going to be pouring the wrath on. Because the others have been clearly marked. The brands will be showing. You can claim God knows your heart all you want. Those who are carrying out the judgment and carrying out the punishment are looking for brands. They're looking for seals. They're looking for marks. They're looking for signs. Who's on the Lord's side? And they won't have any problem determining who's who. There was one time in history that there was a few Christians fled into a city to hide, and the Catholic armies surrounded the city. And one of the generals or the commanders came up and asked the general or the leader or the pope or whoever was in charge and said, "How will we know who's with us and who's with them?" And the pope or whoever the general said, "Kill them all. The Lord will sort out who's whose. The Lord knows whose are His, those that are His. And the devil knows who are the Lord's also. May God help us to not be ashamed of clearly being on one side, clearly being marked, clearly being willing to stand up against right and wrong. Because it'll mark you. When the Lord returns, I don't want Him being confused. The Bible says He's going to send angels to sever the just from the wicked. And the point that we brought out earlier is that angels aren't going to be reading your heart, but they can see obedience. They know whose side we're on. Not because there's some false pretense that we have about ourselves, but because we're marked. Because the way we act, because the way we live, things we do, we're clearly marked. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Are you just one of the devil's nobodies? Or are you on his top 10 list? I know who he is. He knows his enemies. May the Lord help us be one. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to stand for you, Father. Lord, that you would help us, Father, in this time you've put us on this earth, Lord, to stand out for you, Father. Help us be faithful that you can use us to that end. We thank you again for the opportunity that you've given us to be that, what you would have us to be, Father. Lord, that when you return, we can be found faithful, watching and waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.